Thank you, Lord. Do sit down, friends. And as we sit down, be thankful for our wonderful worship team. It's so wonderful, isn't it? Having them lead us. And what a beautiful picture it is of them bringing their gifts together and working alongside each other. Dear Andrea was struggling with a sore throat, and yet she led us so beautifully. Thank you, Andrea. And dear Fee, isn't it lovely to have Fee back with us? And keep praying for Fee. She had throat surgery 6 weeks ago, so her throat, that's what, 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago, sorry. Feels like 6 weeks. 3 weeks ago, and that's why we couldn't hear her beautiful voice, because she's still recovering. And do speak to her later. She's been busy learning about refugees and how to support them overseas. But anyway, my lovely husband, let's pray for him, shall we, as he brings God's word to us this morning. Father, thank you for Andy. Thank you for the teaching gift that you've given him. Thank you for his love of your word and how he prepares his life before you. And we pray, God, that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing and saying to us this morning through your word. Amen.
Great. Good to see you. Some of you seem so far back. I'm tempted to sort of come over here. Great to see you. Turn to the person next to you and say, Father loves you. It's true. It is true. Father loves you. I want to pick up on a theme that I spoke on last week briefly at the weekend away. It's something I touched on, but I just wanted to elaborate on it a little bit more this morning. And the clue is in the title on the screen. And we're just going to read this passage. Jesus said, it's from John 8:31. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's one of my favorite verses, John 8:32. It's worth learning off by heart. Because when we know the truth, when we come under the truth, it's liberating. "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone." "What do you mean you'll be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever, or a daughter. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Praise God. "Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." "Our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham never did such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father." They replied, "We aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father." Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Yeah, do you know what? It's one of those occasions where Jesus tells it like it is. You know, let's be in no two minds about what Jesus is trying to convey here. He really tells it like it is. Who is the Word? Jesus. Yeah, John 1:14. There's one translation of it. "The Word became human and made his home among us." Jesus is the Word. The Bible is also God's word, isn't it? But the written word simply reveals and displays the living word. Jesus is revealed in the Old and the New Testament. It's a sermon in itself. I'm not going there today. But we worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. We worship the living word who is revealed through the written word. Why do we read this book? I was talking to Ben earlier. He's got a paper book. I've got my Bible app on my phone. I get into trouble with my wife. I really should have a paper Bible. But why do we read it? Presumably because we believe that it is God breathed, that it has emanated from the heart of God himself. And importantly, because it reveals the word Jesus in both Old and New Testament, as I said. And while this book reveals Jesus, it does not contain him. It reveals him, but it doesn't contain him. He's bigger than his book. All the books of the world could not contain the living word, Jesus. It reveals him, but it doesn't contain him. Jesus, the word, is also truth. Jesus said, didn't he? John 14:6, do you know it? What does it say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God the Father except through me. He says, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. Jesus, the word, is truth. You see, he can't speak anything but the truth. It's not in his nature because he embodies truth. He is truth. Nothing emanates from him that is falsehood or deceit. By contrast, as we learn from this passage, the devil is what? A liar. And the father of lies. There is, Jesus said, there is no truth in him. He is full of deceit and deception. Truth and lies, friends, are not. I don't know where I am with the slides. Here we go. They are not abstract theological concepts. And they are not neutral in their effect on us. Truth and lies have an impact. Tim, where's Tim? Is he there? Oh, he's disappeared. Truth and lies have an impact on us. Consequences which play out in our lives. We all probably and sometimes unwittingly embrace both. I don't think anybody wholeheartedly embraces truth and consistently and only embraces truth, except Jesus. We don't. But we aim, I hope, to embrace more of the truth and eliminate the effects of lies in our lives. Is that right? I hope. That's what we're aiming for, to live under the truth and to eliminate the effect of lies in our lives or spoken over us in our lives. Why is this important? Well, let's have a look at the consequences of lies and truth. When we live under lies, we see from the Bible that there are consequences in our lives. It brings darkness, detention, slavery, imprisonment. Detention was the only word I could find beginning with a D. And death and destruction. When we live in the truth, what results? Light, liberty, and life. When we live with lies, darkness, detention, death, and destruction. When we live in the truth, light, liberty, and life result. There is an assault on our identity. Oh, going too fast now. There's an assault on your identity. You see, when the devil speaks, he lies. Jesus tells us it's his native language. And he particularly targets your identity, who you are. He targets your identity, primarily, who you are. And if the devil can get you to doubt whose you are, he can get you make you forget who you are. If he can get you to forget that you belong to your father and that your primary source of identity is your father's son or your father's daughter, he can get you to forget who you are. He did the same in two key moments in Scripture, which we're going to look at briefly. Clues on the screen. The first is with Adam and Eve in the garden. The second is with Jesus in the wilderness. So, the conversation. The devil appears in the form of a serpent in the garden to Adam and Eve. The serpent, he was the shrewdest of all the wild animals. And he says to the woman one day, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied, truthfully. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, that was the one tree that the Lord said, don't eat from that tree there. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The devil is trying to persuade Adam and Eve to get through rebellion what they already had through relationship. Being like God, made in his image. They already had it. They had it through relationship. They didn't need to get it through rebellion. He deceived them about their identity. They were already like God, sons and daughters. He tricked them into trying to get by disobedience what they had by design. Jesus in the desert. Oh, hello. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down and he'll command his angels to attend you. Fortunately, Jesus knew there was no if about him being the Son of God. Because if he was in any doubt, we wouldn't have been celebrating communion today. If there was any doubt. There was no if about him being the Son of God. He had heard God audibly say, as had the big crowd just before he went into the wilderness for 40 days, "This is my Son whom I love. With him, I'm really pleased." And guess how much ministry he'd done up to that point? A big fat zero. Nothing. But God said, "I love him, not for what he's done, but for who he is." He was secure in his identity, and he resisted the devil in the desert, unlike Adam and Eve, who did not resist the devil in the garden. But both attacks were on identity. Both attacks came against who they were, their identity. And if you welcome God into your life, Tim, if it seems appropriate at any stage to move the slides on, feel free, because I don't know where we are. If you welcome God into your life, you are his son or daughter by adoption. We know John 1:12, do we? "Yet to all who believe him," who receive him, sorry, "believe in his name, he gave them" what? "The right, the entitlement to become children of God, sons and daughters." This goes to the very core of your identity. You are not defined. There we are. You are not defined by your sexuality, not by your career, not by your success in your key relationships, not by your wealth, not by your material prosperity. First and foremost, you are defined by your relationship with God. If you doubt that, let's do a Bible study after today. You are defined first and foremost by your relationship with God, whether you are a spiritual orphan, as those are who've yet to come into relationship with him, or a son or daughter of God. If the devil can get you to doubt whose you are, he can make you forget who you are. The results of believing the lies. Darkness, detention, death and destruction. Darkness. We're in the dark. We can't see the truth, even when it comes and smacks us in the face. You see, there are certain truth statements I could speak over to you today, and you do not see them. You do not receive them. You cannot comprehend them. Jesus said to the Pharisees, look at this, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me, yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life." They couldn't see. They were in darkness. The Pharisees were the best placed to recognize Jesus when he came because they were learned in the scriptures. They read the scriptures, but they didn't see the Messiah. Prophesied, foretold in the Old Testament. They didn't see him standing before them. They were in the dark. They were listening to the devil, their father, rather than Jesus, as we saw in that passage from John 8. Elsewhere, Jesus refers to the teachers of the law as blind guides. Spiritual sight, understanding God's words and ways, is the most important sight of all. Spiritual sight, I see, I get it, is the most important sight of all. And then detention or slavery. The lie is that non-prescription drugs, heroin, weed, a whole range of them, ecstasy, are great mood enhancers. Now, notice with this kind of thing, the devil rarely lies blatantly, because we'd see it straight away. He deals in half-truths. He'll often entice us into something with a half-truth and then leave us to deal with the consequences. Drugs can be mood enhancers, But the truth is, the rest of the truth is, that the come down is hard and heavy. That these drugs damage your body and your brain, and you very quickly cannot control it. You become addicted. My daughter, one of my daughters, talked to me tearfully the other day about a university friend of hers who has tried to give up drugs that she started taking as a university student and realizes she can't because it has control of her. She doesn't have control of it. And she is a slave to this addiction, to this drug addiction. Addictions are all about being a slave to something you despise. And often the person, the addict, comes to despise it. But they feel powerless to overcome it. It has you in its grip. You're a slave to it. You see, we can believe the lies about all kinds of things. We can believe the lie about pornography, that it's harmless. But actually, it's actually very harmful to healthy, intimate relationships. Another consequence of believing lies is death. Adam and Eve came into agreement with the devil in the garden. They disobeyed God, and they were expelled from the garden, which was paradise on earth. That was paradise on earth, heaven on earth. And they were to go out from the garden and to fill the earth and subdue it. So the whole of the earth became like heaven. But they blew it. They were expelled from the garden. The way to the tree of life was guarded so that they couldn't get to the tree of life. Why? Because God did not want them to taste of the tree of life and remain in their lost state forever if they'd taken the fruit from the tree of life. So they were banished from the garden. They were supposed to be immortal, but now they would taste death. When we listen to the devil, when we come into agreement with him, death and destruction follow. Let's get on to the more cheery side of things, believing the truth. Lies release into our lives darkness, detention, death and destruction, but believing the truth, coming under the truth, it results in light, liberty and life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's illuminating. It's illuminating. You cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, unless you are born again. We need the light of the truth of the word who is Jesus. We need Jesus who is the word, who is the truth, who is the light. Because we cannot see the kingdom of God unless we are born again. Jesus said to his followers, he did say that, but he also said this. Jesus said to his followers, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Though seeing, physically, I put in parentheses, they do not see, spiritually. But they did see, because they come into relationship with him who was the truth. And they did see. Next one, liberty. Jesus said in this passage I read at the beginning, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It will liberate you. The truth is liberating. It is liberating. It sets us free. And then life. There we are. Yes, I just put that on the bottom there. The truth is that addictions will destroy you. Seek help, get free. Seek help, get free. And the life. The Word of God is living and active. In the beginning was the Word. Through him, all things were made. Through him who was called the Word, all things were made. Life came about through the Word. When the Word was spoken, he said, let there be light. Sun, moon, and stars came out of the mouth of God at 186,000 miles a second. You wouldn't have wanted to be there when it happened. But it will be worth getting the DVD in heaven. The word was spoken. Life emanated from the word of God. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus didn't say, "The words I have spoken to you are sounds and sentences." He said they are spirit and they are life. Truth has a spiritual dimension. You can't see it, feel it, touch it, but it is real and has an effect. It releases life. You know, I mentioned last weekend the discourse in John 7 about Jesus grossing out the people who were following him by saying, "You need to eat my body and drink my blood." And they were completely grossed out, thinking, "What kind of cult is this? Is this cannibalism? What's going on here?" And many of them left because they didn't understand and they didn't really like what they were hearing. And Jesus turned to his followers and he said, "What about you? Are you going to go too?" And Peter, who said some amazingly insightful things, as well as opening his mouth and putting his foot in it. It was one thing or the other with Peter. But he says, "Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. When you speak, I come alive inside. I no more understand what you were talking about, eating your flesh and drinking your blood, than the people who've just left. But where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. I know that I come alive inside when I'm with you and you speak truth. I feel alive. I feel alive. I'm not going anywhere." No wonder Jesus said to the devil, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because every word that proceeds from the mouth of God is truth, and it will set you free." Who are we giving authority to? Who are we giving authority to? Whoever has authority over your life does so by your agreement. Is it God or is it the devil? And it all depends on who we're listening to. You see, he gained authority in the garden by talking, not by force, just by persuading them that he was right, and gained authority over Adam and Eve. If you listen to the devil and his lies and agree with him, you empower him in your life to release darkness, slavery, death, and destruction. If you listen to and agree with Jesus, who is the truth, it's his light, liberty, and life that are released into your life. The devil gets his message out mainly through the people who we're in relationship with. Parents, teachers, fellow pupils, colleagues at work. Things are said like this. Look, I've got to illustrate this. This has all been a bit abstract so far. You may be thinking, I'm lost. Well, here are some typical lies and a reality check. "Having you ruined my life." I know people have had that spoken over them. "Having you ruined my life." Here's the truth. "Having you was a result of that parent's actions over which you had no control." "Having a child does not ruin a life." This is the truth. "How a parent reacts to having a child determines the outcomes. The parent could have chosen to embrace it and enjoy it." Here's another lie. "I always wanted a boy, but I ended up with you." That was spoken over my mother. The truth is, she was the girl God intended for her parents. They were best equipped to have a girl. "You weren't planned. You were a mistake." The truth is that God planned you. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He loves you and is crazy about you. "You're so stupid." The truth is, you're not stupid. You may lack ability in some areas, but we all do. But when you find out what you're good at, look out, world. You're not stupid. "You're ugly." Children can be very cruel. The truth is, Appearance is a subjective matter. You may be unattractive to some, but beautiful to others. Even if you're not blessed with Hollywood looks, they fade fast. And God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. He told that to Samuel when he was looking through the eight brothers. And he got to the runt of the litter, David, in the fields looking after the sheep. And he said to David's dad, have you got any more sons? Well, there's only David in the field. Bring him in. God says, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. It's about inward beauty of kindness, love, gentleness, patience, grace. The risk is that beautiful people can be lazy people. And actually, what's really beautiful and what really counts is what's going on in here. You'll never amount to much. The truth is, you already amount to a great deal because you are made in God's image. You already amount to a great deal because you're made in God's image. You are not defined by the short-sightedness of those around you who fail to see who you really are. Look at Forrest Gump. They all thought he wouldn't amount to much. I love that film. I love that film. It challenges a lot of misconceptions. If you want to get free and stay free from lies operating in your life, do all you can. There are three things I think we need to do. We need to read the book of life. We need to read the book of life. Do all you can to read it or have it read to you by Nikki Gumbel. And what's his face? David Suchet with that low gravelly voice, which I can't imitate, but it's very low. Not bad. There is power in God's word to release light, liberty, and life. Read the book every day. Before you start reading, pray, Holy Spirit, open your word to my heart and my mind, and open my heart and my mind to your word. Because you want the Holy Spirit to speak a rhema word through his logos word, don't you? A living word through his written word. Reveal the truth to me. I'm done. Let's stand. I've got a few declarations that I'm going to read out for you to respond to. But just stand. And, oh no, I lie. There are two more. Book in. Stay standing. Book in for Beacon Prayer. Some of you have been living under lies for too long. Some of you have been living under lies spoken over you for too long. And it's time to get free. Some of you will need help to get free of the lies that you've lived under for years, for decades. Steve and Kathy lead our Beacon Prayer team, our Deeper Prayer Ministry team. They will gladly, they and their team, help you to get free of the lies that you've been living under. Do speak to them and they'll tell you what you need to do to book in for Beacon Prayer. And finally, make declarations of truth over yourself. I'm going to mention a few declarations now. One or more of these may resonate with you. They probably won't all resonate with you, but one or more will. I'm going to make declarations of truth now. If they resonate with you, appropriate them to yourself. And thank God for the truth that is in this declaration. So let's close our eyes. And if you feel comfortable to do so, just hold your hands out as a gesture to say to God, I want to receive from you whatever you have for me this morning. Here are the declarations I'm going to read out. I have been redeemed and forgiven for all my sins. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am God's child. I am a saint, a holy one. I'll give you the Bible references for all of these afterwards. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I am God's masterpiece, created for good works. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am free from condemnation forever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Gracious Father, thank you for your light, your illumination, for your liberty, freedom that comes when we sit under your truth, and for the life you release in us when we embrace the truth. Father, move us forward in embracing the truth and renouncing the lies in our lives. We want to come out from under any lies that we've lived under for too long. We want to get free. We want more life.